See if I remember how to do this. So, Christmas is over. And yet, the message of the incarnation lives on. I think a lot of times we get in a hurry to move past Christmas and get on with the new year, and everything is new and fresh, and it's a clean slate and a new start. But I think that there's a reason that we celebrate Christmas at the end of the year as we embark on a new journey, and that's because the birth of Jesus has something for us. It's something to be carried on into the new year. It's something for us to apply to our lives and to live out as we make our resolutions, as we think about what do we want to change this year? What's going to be different? You know, am I going to lose 10 pounds? Am I going to, you know, learn how to knit? Or what, you know, whatever your resolutions are. I think that the idea that God has for us is for that to be molded by the incarnation, by the birth and life of Christ. And I was a little bit troubled this year as I looked around different things, Facebook, articles that I've read. I'm a big reader of blogs, and so I read a lot of blogs, and I was a little bit troubled by some of the things that were shared concerning Christmas. Things like, Jesus was born to die. Things like, Bethlehem only happened on so that Calvary could happen. And I even heard a sermon preached about how On the first Christmas Eve, the baby Jesus was already preparing his goodbyes for his family, ignoring the fact that Jesus actually lived for 33 years and had a ministry here on this earth. I think on the Christian calendar, we tend to want to jump from Christmas to Easter without living in between. And so I think the message of the incarnation is clear, and I think it's one for us today. If we try to live out that idea that Jesus was born to die and all we're worried about is the baby Jesus going to the cross and skipping his life, we do ourselves a great disservice. One, it's an outright lie. Jesus wasn't simply born to die. He was born to live. Two, it's bad theology. We can look through scriptures and see that Jesus had a life and a purpose. It wasn't just born to die, but it was born to set an example for mankind. And believing it is damaging to us and our relationship with God. So we're going to look at those three elements today. First, it's a lie. The Christmas story is about incarnation. The word incarnation means in the flesh. And so this already is scandalous. God becomes man. I mean, wrap your head around that. Not only today, but back then. This is a scandalous message. God becomes man. God desires to be with us. God doesn't want to be separated from us. From the very beginning, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. They were able to eat from the tree of eternal life. And so death wasn't part of the plan back then. When God created mankind, he said it was good. And somewhere along the way, man decided they didn't want to have anything to do with God anymore. Instead, they wanted to be God. And so separation took place, the fall, sin, death, corruption. Fast forward a little while, God comes to Abraham, promises him a son and land, and that through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. So here, the Jewish people are born. And although God separates a group of people out of all of creation, the purpose of this group of people is to do what? I just said it. To bless all nations. Even though God set apart a specific group of people, his desire is that all of creation would be blessed. That all of creation would be reconciled. That it would be the way he meant for it to be. God's desire is to be with all of us, with all of creation. Sometimes it seems like God is absent, doesn't it? Sometimes we wonder, where's God in this situation? What's God up to right now? But the reality is that God desires good things for us. In Romans chapter 8, it says that all things work for the good of those that love him. God is consistently and constantly battling for us. He's in our corner. He wants good things for us. And even when it seems like he's as far away from us as he's ever been, he is pulling strings behind the scenes and trying to work out your situation to bless you and to bring glory to his name. So the message that he sends to Abraham continues through the Exodus, through Judges, through Kings, through the prophets. God desperately wants to be with his people. He wants to be with us, to commune with us, to do life with us. And finally, after all of these different attempts of God to be with us and us continually turning our back on God, he says, "That's it, I'm just going down there." And so Jesus comes, God in the flesh, God on earth, God walking among the very people who keep turning their backs on him. That's the incarnation. It's not about waking up on Christmas morning and acknowledging God and reading Luke 2 and then moving on with our lives, looking forward to Easter and the rest of the year. It's about understanding the message of the incarnation all year long. God desires to be with you. And he is with you. But do we acknowledge it? Or are we like those early attempts of God? Are we continually turning our back on him? The center of the belief that Jesus only came to die is that without death, God could not or would not have anything to do with us. And that's just simply not true. I've just given you example after example of God trying to be with us before the death of Jesus ever took place. And if it were true that God would only have something to do with us after Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, then why would God choose one of us to carry Jesus? Why would God allow shepherd boys and corrupt kings to interact with the living God if he wanted nothing to do with us? Why would Jesus minister to the poor, to the sick, to the hurting? Eat lunch with lepers and prostitutes? Why would he do that if God wanted nothing to do with us before the sacrifice? God wants to be with us, period. There's no stipulations. There's no requirements. God simply wants to be with us. Christmas teaches us that there is a holy God and that we are sinners. But it's not that he will not have anything to do with us. It's that we will not approach him. For fear, for discomfort, fill in the blank. Whatever your reason is, it's not God not coming to us. It's us not coming to God. Richard Rohr of OFM says, "Jesus came to change the mind of humanity about God, not to change the mind of God about humanity." That's a big difference. We have to get our minds right about how God feels about us. The prayer that Amber prayed this morning, that's it. He's crazy about us. Absolutely crazy about us. And in our human finiteness, there's no way for us to wrap our heads around that amount of love. I mean, we almost say it like we take it for granted. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross and rose again. I mean, we can say that like it's nothing. But that's everything. That's everything. God, the creator of everything, became man because he loves us so much that he wanted to be with us. We talk about, I can't wait till I get to heaven because it's going to be amazing. God left that to come here. God wants to be with us desperately. The idea that Jesus was only born to die is also bad theology. We commonly say that Jesus saved us, right? We're saved, Jesus saved us, he came to save us. But what did he come to save us from? What did he come to save us from? If you believe that Jesus came only to die in your place, to satisfy the wrath of God, then you have your answer. He saves us from God. If Jesus only came to die to satisfy the wrath of God, then Jesus is saving us from God. And that gives us a perverted picture of our relationship with God. God came to save us from himself. Does that make any sense? So what did God come to save us from? He came to save us from brokenness. When Adam and Eve fell, creation broke. It was good, it no longer was. It broke. What's broken about it? Two things. One, spirituality is broken. We desire things other than God. We were created to desire a relationship with God and then everything else. But through the fall, through our brokenness, that was flipped upside down, and now there are things that we place above God. So our spirituality is broken. The second thing is we're physically broken. We die, we get sick, we can be hurt. This is what life outside of the garden is like. Broken. But this was not the original plan of God. The original plan was God was good. Very good, as a matter of fact. So good, in fact, that he rested on the seventh day. I'm done. There's nothing more I can do. This is how it's supposed to be. And so Jesus doesn't just come to die, but he comes to bring new life, to put things back the way they were supposed to be, to try to recapture the very good of creation. James Torrance says, "You see, God does not heal us by standing over us, diagnosing our sickness, prescribing medicine for us to take, and then leaving us to get better by obeying his instructions, like an ordinary doctor might. God becomes the patient. God assumes the very humanity which is in need of healing. And by being anointed by the Spirit in our humanity, by a life of being completely given over to hallowing the Father's name, our humanity is healed in him." If Jesus just came to die, the healing would have never taken place. If Jesus just came to die, then why did he live 33 years before the cross? It would have been happy birthday, Calvary. Jesus had a purpose. Now that the incarnation has happened, now that Jesus was born and lived, God has been human. And just like it says in Hebrews 4, he was tested in every way, yet remained without sin. We can relate to God now because he was human. He was born, he cried, he had his diaper changed, he skinned his knee, he played with his brothers and sisters. There were times where Joseph was proud of him and that made him feel good. He was hungry, he was thirsty. He cried when his friend died. Now that Jesus had a life, now that God became human and did all of these things, we can relate to God on a personal level. It's not just God in the cosmos that loves us, cares about us, created us, but it's God who walked on this earth and experienced the same things I experience. When I get hungry, I can relate to God. When I get thirsty, I can relate to God. When I am sad because of something that's going on in my life or the life of someone else, I can relate to God. When I'm scared and don't understand, I can relate to God. Remember the garden? When he cried tears of blood and cried out to his Father? Because Jesus lived a life, we can relate to God more clearly than anyone before Jesus' time ever could. Because he became one of us. By doing all of these things, by living a life He reconciled humanity. He healed it. Because he was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. So why is believing that Jesus was only born to die damaging to us? I'm about to ruin a lot of one of your favorite songs for you. I'm sorry. Who knows the song, I'll Fly Away? Who likes that song? I'm about to ruin it for you. I'm sorry. In the song, I'll Fly Away, it says, when the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away like a bird from the prison walls. I'll fly away. Like a bird from the prison walls, I'll fly away means when this prison that is my body is dead, my soul will fly away like a bird freed from its cage. This is pretty common belief in theology for Christians, that it's our flesh that is corrupt and that our soul will be free from this cage of sin and yuck at some point when we die. That is not Christianity. That is Gnosticism. And that is heresy. Now, I'm sure when the original writer of this song wrote that, he wasn't studying theology. It just sounded really nice. But the reality is, the fact that Jesus lived in a human body means that the flesh is not what's corrupt. The flesh is not corrupt. It's redeemable. You are redeemable. Everything about you is redeemable. If we don't believe that, then we're shortchanging God. The fact that Jesus lived in flesh and blood, died and rose again in flesh and blood, means that our human bodies are redeemable. That there's nothing inherently bad about what we are. And that through a relationship with Jesus Christ and by the grace of God, redemption is possible. Maybe not completely on this earth, but the process begins here. If that is not true, then we can be no better today or tomorrow than we were yesterday or the day before. We see redemption taking place in people all the time. And we can trace our history back and see redemption taking place in our own lives. We just sang about it. Amazing Grace. I once was a wretch, and through the grace of God, I'm on a journey towards redemption. Amen? So let's not skip the message of the incarnation. Let's not try to jump from Christmas to Black Friday without living out the incarnation in our lives. The next time you're hungry, the next time you're thirsty, the next time you're sad or disappointed or upset, see that as a way that you relate with God, because God experienced those things. And because God was able to experience those things without sin means that you are not a slave to sin. You have been set free. You are no longer imprisoned by that sin. And through the grace of God, you can make the choice to not sin. So what does the incarnation mean for you in the new year? Where do we take that message? Do we stick it in our back pocket and pull it back out at Easter? Or do we start to look for new ways that we can relate to God and that God can transform us from the inside out? We celebrate Christmas on December 25th, but we can celebrate the incarnation every day of our lives. Jesus lived so that we can live. And he died because we will die. And he rose again because through him we can rise again. So it begins at Christmas. It doesn't end at Christmas. And I hope that now that last Wednesday has come and gone, that you, when you put away your decorations, you don't put away the message of the incarnation with it, but that you revisit that consistently throughout the year. That when you read your scriptures, You don't read it in terms of pointing towards the cross, but you read it in terms of what does it have for me today? Because we all still have life left. We're here, we're breathing. That means we have purpose. God has something for us to do. We're part of the redemptive plan now. If we know Jesus and we put our trust in Jesus, we're part of the plan now. And He can use us to share that purpose and that plan with other people. So Jesus ascended, and now the incarnation is in us. When He left us what? What did He leave us? The Holy Spirit that dwells where? So you are now the incarnation of God. And what did Jesus say when He left? You're going to do what? Greater things. Greater things than even I did. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, you're really selling yourself short. God has great things in store for you. The church is alive and well. We have a message of hope to share with the world. And while churches are full at Christmas and Easter, it's the in-between times that the work has to be done. So, let's go into the new year with that. The reason for the season is the incarnation. Let's take that into the new year, into 2014 and beyond, and let's be the incarnation. Let's be the embodiment of what God intended for creation to be, to do life with Him and with others, as Ann pointed out this morning. Are we going to fall? Absolutely. But we get back up, we dust ourselves off, and we keep charging forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would carry that Christmas message with us all year long. Lord, it's easy when we put away the decorations and take down the tree and clean up the wrapping paper and all the things and to just forget the message that comes with Christmas. But Lord, I pray that You would impress on our hearts that the incarnation is for all year long. It's not for December, but it's for us to embody in our lives and to live out throughout the year. Lord, I pray that we would, as we read our scriptures, as we pray, as we do life with You, that the incarnation would be apparent to us, that we would learn from it, that we would learn from the life that You lived, Lord. It wasn't just about a baby going to the cross, but it was about a man that lived a life as a model for us. Lord, go with us now wherever we might be spreading to. Pray that we would bring Your message of hope to others, and that we would remember that You are always with us, that You desire to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.